This podcast is presented to you by Pastor Bill Shear and Guts Church in Tulsa, Oklahoma. For more information, please visit gutschurch.com.
Well, it's great to be in the house of the Lord, isn't it? How many of you guys are expected tonight? Anybody expectant? Anybody ready to roll? Man, any of you guys that maybe you've rolled into the ditch, tonight you're getting out, you're getting back on track, and I'm telling you, we're taking back ground tonight in the name of Jesus. I said we're taking back ground tonight in the name of Jesus. No, I need you with me tonight. Hey, no podium, no notes. Man, just my heart. Man, I need you with me tonight. I need you to get in, because I'll tell you what, I hate the devil. Will you join me in hating the devil tonight? Huh? Man, you guys just hate the devil. Man, the devil sucks. He's trying to suck your finances and your marriage and your kids and the life out of your home. And I'm done with it. I'll tell you right now, man, we've been made more than conquerors through Christ who strengthens us. And that's who we are in Christ. And I'll tell you what, it's time for us to be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Isn't that right? God, thank you tonight for your word. God, I thank you that you sent your word to heal us and deliver us of all of our destructions. God, I thank you tonight that no person, no man, no woman, no child, no kid in the kids' church or in the youth churches tonight, God, leave here the same way they came. God, but we're taking back new ground tonight. And God, I prophesy that, I proclaim that in the name of Jesus. And everybody said,
amen.
Amen. Give the Lord a hand, will you? Man, I'm fired up. I'm fired up. I'm not kidding you. Man, I'll tell you, it can't be two steps forward, one step back, and then a kind of a sidestep, and then another step forward, a couple steps back in life anymore. We're done with that, aren't we? Man, we're ready to seek the high ground. We're ready to go to the promised land. We're ready to be who God's called us to be. Man, the bottom line with this is, you know, it's interesting. There was a centurion that Jesus crossed paths with in Matthew, the 8th chapter. And that centurion had a servant, had somebody that he was paralyzed. And then he said, he wasn't just paralyzed, he was paralyzed and tormented. And you know what? And that's what fear tries to do with us. That's what terror tries to do in our society. It tries to torment us, tries to lock us up. And what fear will do is fear will paralyze you. So I'm telling you, it's a perfect analogy. Man, this centurion servant was paralyzed and he was tormented. And so many people in here tonight, whether you want to admit it or not, man, watch it on the internet, listen to this podcast, man, you're gripped with fear and it's paralyzed you and tormented you. And here's what's interesting. Jesus took compassion on this guy, and it's like, okay, tell me your story. Jesus said, and the guy said, no, no, no. He said, where is your servant? The guy said, no, 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 you don't have to go. And you know what? That caught Jesus' attention. He said, you don't have to go. He said, you just speak the word. He said, you speak the word. He said, I'm a man under authority. Man, I've got tons of people in my life. He said, if I tell them to go here, they go here. If I tell them to come there, they come there. If I tell them to jump, they say, how high? And he said, I understand authority. And I'm telling you, that clicked with the heart of Jesus. All fear is you understanding, overcoming and defeating fear is you understanding the authority that you're sitting in this room with. Man, the authority of heaven, earth, and below the earth, all I'm telling you is subject to the name of Jesus that is in your heart and on the tip of your tongue. And he said, all you have to do is speak the word. You know what Jesus said? I haven't seen great faith like this in all of Israel. He said, and you know what? His servant was made well that very hour. That's exactly what the word says in Matthew, the 8th chapter. So you know what we've got to do? We've got to speak the word. Man, write that down. Speak the word. And you know what the Bible says? In season and out of season. We speak the word. We speak the word whether we feel like it's appropriate time to do it or not. We speak the word. You know, there's too many people, and let me just tell you, there's too many people, man, they're laying in a hospital bed clinging to the last few breaths of life that you get frantic phone calls. Please come and pray. Man, make sure you're praying. Man, we're way into that. But let me just tell you, that's not the only appropriate time to speak the word. Man, when you're healthy and your life is robust, you know what you do? Man, you speak the word. And you know what that faith becomes? That faith becomes a garrison against all the enemies of your soul, every bit of fear that you're going to have. Turn to your Bible to Mark, the 11th chapter. Mark, the 11th chapter. You know what? Let's go to John. Go to the book of John. Let's look at chapter 14. Just three quick verses here before we go to Mark 11. And what's interesting about Mark 11, the first two or three years I was a Christian, if you didn't, you know, there were no smartphones. We didn't have digitized Bible. We had to look at books. We had to turn pages. And if you'd have laid my Bible down on the binder, it would have opened to Mark the 11th chapter. I mean, this is how big this is in my life. And it still is. I'm telling you that we get revelation of this tonight. I'm telling you, it's time for us to soar. Anybody ready to leave where you are and begin to soar in life? Anybody? Man, I'm telling you, we got to be sick and tired of the whole thing and be done with it. Man, I'm ready to move out of that to this place and be in a new place. And in Mark 14 verse 12 said, Jesus said, most assuredly I say to you, he who believes in me and the works that I do, he said, these works, he said, you'll do greater works than these because I go to my Father. And then he said something interesting. He said, anything you ask in my name, I'll do it. Anything you ask in my name, I'll do it. Man, and whatever you ask in my name, that I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. What is Jesus looking to do? He's looking to glorify his Father. And see, and that's what, we're sons now. You've been grafted in. You've been adopted in. So now we look at this. We've written this chapter and these verses down. And you know what, man, we go back tonight and we meditate on this. And you know what this word does when you meditate on it? It begins to chip away at the fears that have gripped your life. And then you begin to speak the word. What if you memorize this? What if you were able to call on it? What if this is what you said when you're in your alone time and you're driving to work, instead of turning on talk radio or instead of turning on the news or rock and roll or rap or whatever it is that you're listening to, what if you just began to quote the word that's already hidden in your heart? Man, he said, whatever you ask in my name, I'll do it. It'll glorify my Father. In Mark, the 11th chapter, and this starts in verse 20, where Jesus was, Jesus had already cursed this fig tree that had leaves on it, but had no fruit on it. And you'll think this is an odd scenario. It's really not. It's really not, because this tree, the fig tree is one of the few trees, maybe, I don't know, the only tree, that it produces fruit before it produces leaves. You know, Pastor Sandy and I had a bunch of fruit trees in our backyard when we lived in Southern California. And man, it was just, I remember the first year we moved into this rent house, and man, the guy said, man, you got all this fruit. And you know what? That first year there was no fruit. I'm like, that guy, there's no fruit. Man, I'm telling you, the next 2 years we lived in that house, anybody that came by got a bushel basket or grocery store bags full of fruit. Take some peaches, take some plums. Man, we had more than we'd need for this room right here, just with a few trees in our backyard. But here, this fig tree, Jesus saw this fig tree with leaves on it. And you know what he thought? You know what? I'm gonna go get a fig off that tree, but it had no figs. And you know what? It looked like it should have figs, because figs come before the leaves come. So if leaves were there, man, it makes sense that figs were there, and it wasn't. So Jesus said, okay, you'll be of no use, and you'll not bear fruit another season. And he walked away. They came back, and this is where verse 20 is. When they came back and they walked by in the morning, and as they passed by, they saw the fig tree dried up from the roots. And Peter, remembering it, said to him, he's like, oh, Rabbi, look. Man, that tree that you cursed, it's withered, and it's withering away. And this is where the message starts tonight. Are you guys ready? A spirit of revelation to come into your life. Verse 22, he said, look, you gotta have faith in God. That's what your Bible says. The literal translation, and I'm telling you, hang on to your hat. The literal translation, Jesus said, have the faith of God. Literally, have the God kind of faith. The measure of faith, listen, and this is where it makes sense. Like, you'll say, you know what? But I don't have the faith of God. Yes, you do. Because the Bible says to each one of us has been given the measure of faith. Who gave you that measure of faith? God did. He didn't give you human faith. He didn't give you mammal faith. He gave you his kind of faith. Man, he put his life in you, and with that life, he gave you a load of faith, and more faith than you have need of, a measure of faith. And what Jesus said is, have the faith of God. Have the God kind of faith. And now's where it gets awesome. He said, for assuredly, I say to you, Man, these guys are freaking out. They're thinking, man, that guy just said, he spoke some words and it withered up that fig tree like that. And then Jesus said, for assuredly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and doesn't receive any doubt in his heart, he'll have whatever he says. Now listen, I want to break this down for you a little bit. I want to rightly divide it for you. For assuredly I say to you, whoever says, whoever speaks to the mountain, it doesn't make any sense. You're speaking to a mountain. That word mountain there doesn't have a surname on it. It's not Mount Sinai. It's not one of the other mounts that is listed in the word. It's lowercase, that mountain. So you know what it is? Literally translated, it's an authority that tries to hover over you like a mountain would hover over you. If you were at the base of a mountain and you'd look up, it feels like it's hovering over you. And he says, you say to this mountain, whatever it is, the authority that's trying to hover over you. Man, that thing that's the product of whatever that is the fear of your life. He said, what, man, you say to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea and don't receive any doubt. You know what's gonna try to enter into your thought life? Doubt. It's just words. It doesn't make any sense. No, it doesn't. But you know what? Your word is seed, and that seed is the word of God. Man, you speak that word in season and out of season. I'll tell you what, God's given us the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. And you know what that word of God does? Man, that word of God, absolutely, it comes forth with power. It's alive, it's powerful, it's sharper than any two-edged sword. It is able to accomplish what God has sent it to accomplish, and it will never return void of power. Man, I'll tell you, this is serious, this is important. Because I tell you, on the backside of fear, if you don't get a hold of the fear in your life, you're going to suffer offense. You're going to have to deal with depression. You're going to have to deal with bitterness and unforgiveness in your life. But you know what? You don't take on that spirit of fear. Man, you know what happens? Love, power, a sound mind. Man, you're able to make the right decisions. You know, the enemy uses fear to get you to stop you in your tracks so you don't have forward momentum and forward motion in your life. And you know what? When you stand still, things get confusing. Why are people passing me by? Why are things seemingly happening to other people? Man, I'll tell you what, we have to take the initiative. When you're living a life of faith, you have to take the initiative. You have to speak the word. And the Bible says whether you feel like it or not, whether it seems appropriate or not, And then in verse 24, Jesus said, therefore, I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them and you'll have them. Man, whatever you ask when you pray, believe. Don't receive any doubt. Well, what if it doesn't work? Well, are you kidding me? Man, the first words God spoke over the earth was let there be light. Let there be Messiah. I'm telling you, before Adam even fell, God had a plan for all of us. Man, your life might be a complete mess up to now. And I'm just telling you, it does not matter. It doesn't matter to us and it doesn't matter to God. I'm telling you, we serve a God who calls those things which be not as though they were and gives life to the dead. Man, you feel like there's some things dead in your life. You feel like your marriage is dead. God's saying, no way. You know what? With God, he sees a marriage union. He sees covenant. Man, that's what God is thinking. And you know what? God is not about to break covenant. So you know what? Your marriage is alive. Your marriage is strong. Your marriage is healthy. And then you look and you think, well, I didn't see anything. No, my marriage is alive. My marriage is strong. My marriage is healthy. Man, that's what we do. We speak it whether we feel like it or not, whether it's appropriate or not. Man, we've got to put this on like you put on a jacket, like you put on a shirt. You got to take off what's old and you got to put on what's new. You got to let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, to be right with God, to be in right standing and at eye level with God, or the same plane as God. Man, I'm telling you, if you're on the same plane as God, man, what matters with fear? Let me just tell you, all of us deal with fear. Man, if you think I'm going to get up here and say, I don't deal with any kinds of fear, I would be a liar. I'm telling you, we all have to deal with fear. We all have to deal with offense. We all have to deal with unforgiveness. We all have to deal with bitterness. We all have to deal with depression. But you know what? I'm telling you, how do you deal with it? Do you snuggle up with it and make it your identity? Man, there's so many people that make fear their identity. And you know what? I'm telling you, the world is selling it. And I'm telling you, they're selling it hard. And you know, I heard this years ago, and I'm telling you, I want a church that's able to say no to the world, because America has been conditioned to not say no. So you know what? We buy all kinds of things we don't need. All kinds of things. Get in all kinds of debt. Oh my gosh, you know how strong a church we'd have right here if we didn't have the debt load that we have to carry as people. Oh, but we had to have it. We had to have it right now. You know, what if from this day forward we begin to believe God for the things that we normally would have put on a credit card, or we would have taken out a loan for? What if we begin to be Christians? What if we begin to not let that stuff rule and reign in our lives? Man, what if we just trusted God? What if Matthew 6:33 is really the truth? But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. What if that's the truth? We serve a God of more than enough. We serve a God whose name is El Shaddai, the God of more than enough. Man, he's given us a land to live in. And well, you know what that promised land is? The land of more than enough. But you know what we've got to do? We've got to cross over. I'm going to talk about that Sunday. I'm telling you, I'm fired up about this series. It's time for us to defeat fear in our lives. Let's make a proclamation of faith. You guys want to? Father God, I thank you. Fear is defeated in my life. In Jesus' name. Devil, I take authority over you. In the name of Jesus, I command you to dry place, to seek rest, and to find none. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah! I'll tell you, go ahead. Let's get free. And whenever you stand praying, here's what Jesus said. You got to forgive. Don't bring any baggage in. Forgive. So your Father in heaven can forgive you. See, and there's so many people that just have done us wrong and done us dirty and lied or cheated or maybe even are telling the truth, but they don't want to proclaim it to the masses. It's like, you know something? What we've got to do is we've got to let go of that. You'll say, well, it's hard for me to forgive. Man, someone may have abused you, man, verbally or physically or even sexually or, man, and you know what? You're thinking, man, I could never forgive him. No, you have to forgive him. You have to. And you know what? Let me just tell you, the freedom and forgiveness is just incredible. Man, you make yourself forgive. And you'll say, yeah, but I don't trust him. I wouldn't trust him either. Man, if someone's abused you, you don't have to trust them, but you have to forgive them. And that's who we have to be. Man, we've got to be those people that we're just forgiven. Why? So you know what? Now, you know what God can do? Because when we're forgiving, we're honoring God. I'm going to say it again. When we forgive people, we honor God. It just doesn't let them off the hook for what they did or said or were about. It honors God. That's why we forgive. Man, I don't forgive Glenn because, well, you know, Glenn, he's a good guy. He probably didn't mean to do it. No, you know what? That takes way too much energy to try to figure all that stuff out. Man, I'm going to honor my wife. You know why? Because I want to be honorable. I want to forgive Glenn because I want to be forgiven. I want to be right with God. I want to honor God in my life. Man, we put way too much effort in things that in doing it of our volition. Man, we forgive by faith. What is it? We believe in our heart and we confess with our mouth. Man, that confession of faith that we have to be making all the time. Let's turn our Bibles to 1 Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians. You guys still here? Verse 16. It's a very difficult verse to actually execute. It's easy to understand. I mean, rejoice, okay, that means we act like we're joy-filled and joyful. Rejoice always. And it's like, okay, we can probably give a suitable definition for both words. We probably even can understand it, but then to execute it, it's difficult. We don't get a lot of pity. We don't get a lot of attention. You know, people get a lot of attention from pity. But if you're rejoicing all the time, you're not going to be pitied. Matter of fact, people may think you're crazy. And if people aren't thinking, let me just tell you, We are a peculiar people. Why? We rejoice always. That's peculiar. Man, life throws haymakers sometimes. Man, things in life hit us and it's like, dear God, did that happen? Where did that come from? Sandy, how many times have we thought that? How many times have we thought, where did that come from? Oh my gosh. Well, you know what? What's our recourse? We have to rejoice. Yeah, but I want to defend myself. Well, you're not going to defend yourself if you're going to honor God. Man, Jesus made himself of no reputation. Jesus didn't defend himself. You know what Jesus' response to them accusing him of being the king of the Jews? Jesus said, that's what you say that I am. He didn't get caught up in all those, what the Bible says, civilian affairs or carnal affairs. Man, we are men and women under the authority of the Most High God. Rejoice always. Then we go to the next verse. It says, pray without ceasing. We pray all the time. Let me tell you, you want to build a garrison against fear in your life? How many of you guys want to build walls that fear can't get through? Anybody? Man, you have to have a healthy prayer life. You've got to pray without ceasing. You got to rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. In everything. Notice it doesn't say for everything. But it says, in everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God for you in Christ Jesus. So many people are wondering, oh my gosh, what's the will of God in my life? What should I be doing in my life? Here, let me help you. People that are doing these three simple steps are not asking that question. Rejoice always is number one. Number two is pray constantly. Man, be in prayer. And you know what prayer is? Man, prayer is just you quoting God's word, just reminding God of his promise. Just saying, hey, God, I just thank you for my marriage. God, thank you for that woman that's in my life. God, I thank you that you understand her better than me, so you're going to lead and guide me in all truth. You're going to direct me, God. God, I'm going to fulfill your purpose on the earth, God. God, I thank you now that I'm ready for the next altercation, the next interaction, the next intersection I'm going to have in my life. God, I'm ready for that. I'm down for whatever, God. God, I'm ready to speak life and truth and faith to whomever I have to. Man, so what? Number one, man, rejoice always. Number two, pray constantly. Number three, in everything, be thankful. And you'll say, yeah, but I got a bad diagnosis. You want to turn that bad diagnosis into a good diagnosis? You're just thankful to God for who he is in your life. You're thankful to God for the provision he's given you throughout his word to heal. I'll tell you what, people receiving God's health and receiving God's healing is very frustrating for me. And I'll tell you why. It is clearly defined and laid out and projected on our lives in God's word. Clearly. I'm telling you, it's God's will to heal everybody all the time, no matter what. But you know what? It's frustrating because it gets on top of people. Man, and you know what gets on top of people? Isn't so much the diagnosis. What gets on top of people is fear. Man, I heard a kid, he's a middle school kid here in the church that broke his back in an athletic accident or something. Man, it broke a couple vertebrae, and it's like, oh my God, had to wear a brace, and man, it was painful. And you know what that's gotta be in a parent's life? Man, just, oh my gosh, how's this gonna affect his life? Man, a broken back. You know what? The kid just came in one day and had his brace off and said, my back doesn't hurt anymore. You know what? They went back to the doctors. The doctors are like, something's happened here. You know what? What's interesting is it was childlike faith. Man, that brace was getting in the way of that kid having fun. That brace, that pain was getting in the way of that kid playing. What's getting in your way right now that if you know what, man, you just rejoice always? Man, we've got to get so much. It's like, okay, we're going to worship God now. And you know what? How many people just kind of phone that part of it in? Now I'm going to finish my conversation, or I walk in a minute. That's not my style of music. Man, to me, it's not about style. To me, all this music, all I care about from what happens on this stage, and I appreciate these guys that are up here musically more than you know. But all I care about is that they lift the room. You know what? Let's get people a little higher than their circumstances and their situations. Let's help people get above, get on top, get out in front of their diagnosis. I'll tell you what, man, we've got to be people that understand who God is and what God's about and understand his heart and his nature. And do you want to do that? Do you want to understand God's heart? Do you want to understand God's nature? You rejoice always. You make yourself. Your flesh doesn't want to. Man, how are things going? I have family members that I think hate to talk to me. I'm not kidding you. And it's not, listen, and I'm as pleasant as the next guy. But you know why? How's it going? Man, it's, how's Sandy? I'll tell you. I don't know, but you guys can see she's soaring. She's living the dream. Well, how are the kids? Well, man, they go through things. You know, I've got a grandmother that I've got to kind of make things up. I got to go, well, you know, how's Taylor? Well, you got a haircut. She goes, oh, okay. Tell me about it. Yeah, you went to the barber. Ooh. It's goofy. Man, how's Brooklyn? Are you kidding me? How's Brooklyn? Man, Brooklyn is fulfilling God's purpose and plan for her life. How do you think she is? Oh my gosh. Man, she doesn't walk around just like a regular person. She's a child of the living God. But see, people don't like that. You know, and you know what's interesting is I've got relatives that go, you got to be going through something. It's like, you know what? Yeah, there I'm going through hell. I'm just not stopping. I'm not going to stop and rap about it. I'm not going to stop and talk to you about it. Yeah, you know what? I stop, I get my butt kicked. And you know what? I've had my butt kicked before. I don't like it. Okay? So I'm going to keep motoring. I'm going to keep pushing. I'm going to keep grinding. I'm telling you, the life of faith, there is a grind to it. Why? Because you got to make yourself. You got to crucify your flesh. Man, let's keep reading in 1 Thessalonians 5. What's the next verse? Man, we rejoice always. Don't quench the spirit. See, this is huge. Man, how many of you guys, and this is a real question. How many of you guys in here that your spirit's, that it's been quenched on the inside of you? Let me tell you that if it's quenched on the inside of you, you're going to get offended over something. You're going to start looking for greener grass. I'm just telling you, in the church, in your walk with God, in your marriage, and on your job. My gosh, what if your job is really your ministry? What if those people that work with you are your congregation? My gosh, you don't think this is frustrating for us once in a while? But you know what? You can't let that fire of God on the inside of you get quenched. Man, don't quench the spirit. Verse 20. And you know what's interesting? The verses are so short. Man, it's so easy. Don't despise prophecies. Man, don't despise the spoken word is what he's saying here. Man, you get in it. If I were you and I wasn't growing much, I would be here every time the doors open. If I were you and I was dealing with something in my life, I'd be here every time the doors open. If I were you and man, you're just wallowing in it, I would be here every opportunity I could. I would get on the property. I would. If nobody else is here, I'd say, you know what? I'm going to walk around and pray for the people that are going to get saved on Sunday. I'm going to walk around that nightmare building and pray for the people that are going to get saved this weekend. Man, I'm gonna walk up and down the parking lot, and I'm gonna pray for the cars driving by. Man, man, don't despise, man, the breaking of the bread of life. Don't despise the preaching of God's word. And then he says this, and Paul was big on this. He said, "Test all things. Is the fear that's in your life from God? Well, you know it's not. But so you have to test that." Hold fast to what's good. Abstain from every form of evil. Man, hold fast to what's good. You know what? It doesn't say hold fast to what's entertaining you. So much of church now, it has to be entertaining. We have to sweep people off their feet. And I think we miss out. Man, I think we're sending untrained soldiers into battle. And I know God's dealing with things in your life right now. I know that God's speaking to your hearts right now. I know it. This is all way too simple. You know, there's some of you that'll still say, well, you know, it's hard for me to read the word. I don't understand it. Really? Rejoice always. Yeah, but it's, my life's a mess. That's why you have to rejoice. You want things to change? Man, you got to laugh at the devil. The Bible says laughter does good like a medicine. Man, you laugh at your cancer. Man, you laugh at the improprieties in your home or your marriage. Man, laugh at that stuff. Don't let the man. I'm just telling you, it'll confuse the enemy. It'll send shockwaves through his camp. Man, you know what I love to say? I love to say, I bind you, devil, in the name of Jesus. I command you to dry place, to seek rest, and to find none. I love to say that. I probably say that 3 or 4 times a day. And you know what? God loves it. The devil hates it. You know, that's in God's word, that we can bind the devil. The Bible says this, submit yourself to God, resist the devil, and he has to flee. Rejoice always. And you know what? There's another verse said, and again, I say rejoice. And you know what? Well, you know, I'm not very happy. Get over yourself. It isn't about being happy. I'm not kidding you. We're not 5 years old. Man, we've got to be people that know our God and the power of his resurrection. You know, Jesus hung on that cross. Too many of you guys, dadgummit, I don't mean this to be accusatory. There's too many people that feel like the cross is the end of the story. No, we're not here preaching the cross. We're preaching from the cross. Man, what happened after that? That's where the real story is. Do you understand that everything that happened up to the cross was in the old covenant? Man, the gospels were written without what we have today. Do you know how far advanced that we are right now? Oh my gosh, you know how many churches are in this room right here? Do you know how much incredible ministries in this room right here? Do you know what would happen in just this room right here if we just advocated fear out of it, if fear just had to go, if we didn't allow fear to engage in our lives, what are people gonna think? You know, I think I've had that thought once in a while. What are people gonna think? You know what? I don't have it as much anymore now. I know they're gonna think, but you know what? I realize I'm not that popular. It isn't everybody, you know, somebody come up and say, well, you know, I know everybody's talking about me. No, you're not that big a deal. No, but the devil's just trying to contort things, and we got to think, man, it's on top of us. Man, I can't move. It's got to be trapped. No, you know what? I'm confident of this very thing. Are you ready for this? He who has begun a good work in you will complete it unto the day of Christ Jesus. I am confident of that very thing. That, you know why? That's what the word says. Man, the one thing I know, not that I've attained, not that I've perfected, the one thing that I know, forgetting those things which are behind. Everybody say, forgetting those things which are behind. And looking forward, come on, and pressing and grinding to the high call of God in Christ Jesus. Oh my gosh, but it's not that fun. No, but it's going to get really fun. You think about getting oppression out of your life. You think about walking. Some of you guys being able to walk out of depression tonight in the name of Jesus. It's not, no, too much of this. Man, do you understand the word isn't therapy? It's not. That's not how God does this. The word, listen, is alive. It's quick. It's powerful. Here, let me show you how the word does it. Like this, watch. What just happened? I think that depression just got lopped off my life. And that's what it is. Man, it's not a dagger, it is a sword. And it's sharp. Devil has messed with you way too long. And you know what? Man, we could capsulize it into fear. Funnel everything to fear, but I'll tell you what, it's just the devil messing with you. And there's too much that have come out of your mouth that has just tied you up in knots, just knotted up your life. And then you know what? Man, you'll sit there in the wee hours of the night and you'll be looking at that knot and you're trying to get it apart and it is pulled so tight and it's such a mess and you're thinking, oh my gosh. And then you know what? You start cutting it out. You start cutting and you lose most of your life just trying to cut it out, just not having to deal with all the knots. His yoke's easy. His burden's light. Rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. And you know what? And just trust God. In everything, give thanks. In everything. What are you in right now? Just give thanks. Don't give thanks for it. Give thanks in it. Be thankful unto God. Man, Jesus, looking unto Jesus. There's too many people that a circumstance or a situation in their life has tried to author your faith or tell you how to trust. No, the Bible says looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Man, that's who I'm going to trust. I'm going to trust in the name of the Lord our God. I'm going to trust in the name of Jesus. I'm going to say to that mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea and don't receive any doubt in my heart. I'm going to have whatever I say. I have what I say. I'm a child of God. I'm a child of the King. I'm an heir of God and a joint heir with Jesus. Greater is he who's in me than he who's in the world. Man, no weapon formed against me will ever prosper, yet everything I put my hands to will. I'm telling you, this isn't fair. We have God on our side. This isn't fair. God's our daddy. This is nepotism at its finest. I'm telling you right now, man, God opens doors no man can close. Man, you're looking around going, man, I don't have any open doors in my life. You know why? You're not rejoicing always. You're not praying without ceasing. You're not thankful in your life. Rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. Be thankful. And guess what will happen? You'll be going, oh my gosh, where did my fears go? I have so much time on my hands now. I have so much energy. I could do so much for God. I'm not worried about what somebody's going to think. Well, but it's awkward. Yeah, you know something? You're right. It's awkward until they're laying on a hospital gurney with 5 breaths left. Isn't that right, Scott? With 5 or 10 breaths left in their body, and they're clinging, trying to cling to life. Please pray for me. Yeah, they're not saying it when they're going to the casino. They're not saying it when they're living it up. But guess what? They need to be. And we preach the word in season and out of season. We profess God's power. Man, do you understand the power and the authority of the name of Jesus? I'm telling you, I really wish I was a better communicator. You deserve better. You really do. But you know what? If I were you, I'd get this in me. If I were you, I'd go to the internet and I'd get the notes. I'd sit by somebody that took notes and I'd say, look, give me those scriptures again. I'm going to read them and 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 I'm going to study them and I'm going to pray while I'm reading them. And you know what? They're going to come alive. They're going to become life to me in the name of Jesus.
Thanks for listening to the Guts Church podcast. For more information on service times, please visit gutschurch.com.